Matthew 13:15, it says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." If you look up the word gross, it means thick. In other words, dull or thick means calloused. "And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Look at that verse closely. That's talking about the children of Israel in that day. Jesus was the one that said this. But how many of you know it's a condition of heart we all have to watch out for, to where we hear but we don't hear, we see but we don't see, and we don't understand. It can go, things can be, things, what he's saying here is, hearing, you can hear but not hear. In other words, you can, it can bounce off your eardrums, but not really listen. Amen. Anybody got children? Or have had children? Or you were once a child? That should be everybody in here. And your mama said, "You're not listening to me," or something like that. Or your children, you know, today. They heard, but they didn't hear. But is that just children that do that? Well, you might say, "Yeah, that's just children." Yeah, and God calls us all his little children. He didn't even say children over there. One place in the Bible it says little children. So all of God's children can hear and not hear. So it's something we need to guard against. Can you say amen? I've had people that I met with in the office. They came, they needed some help, some counsel and wisdom. And I don't have all the answers, but I do have I do know the one who does. And we trust him, you know, we look to him. And so I've shared things out of my heart that came up in my heart. And they were like, "Wow, yeah, I see it. That's so good. Okay, I'm going to do that." And we rejoiced and they left happy. And within a couple of weeks or a couple of months, I'm thinking, oh, I'm scratching my head. You know, I'm going like, well, they said they understood. They said they heard, but they're doing the exact opposite. What happened? They heard, but they didn't hear. Bounced off their eardrums, but it didn't register on them. Remember, Jesus in one case said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." He was talking to his disciples. "Let these things sink down into your ears." In other words, there's more to it than just bouncing off your eardrums. It has to sink in. And the process of that happening sometimes is not, it doesn't happen just because we heard one time. Brother Hagin used to get up and say the same things over and over again. And as a pastor, you find yourself doing that, saying things over and over again. And I thought I got it the first time Brother Hagin said something until he said it again. I go, "Oh my goodness, that's really good. Has he said that before?" You know what I'm talking about? And then he'd go over it again in another setting and I'd go, "Wow, I thought I understood what he said. Now I understand what he's saying." Well, you see, it's line upon line. It's you're getting it. You're hearing it more and more and you're getting it more and more. And that's a scriptural thing. People, Brother Hagin really set me free from the fear of repetition. I don't mind going over things over and over again. Amen. And I learned not to be frustrated with other people because I got frustrated with other people in healing school one day and sort of let them have it back in healing school days, Kenneth Hagin Ministries healing school days, and sort of let them have it. And the Lord said, "I want to talk to you." And so I went into a side room and boy, he was not happy with me. And so he said, "I didn't appreciate the way you treated my people today." And the way he came in, the glory came into that room, but not like I was used to. I think it was a little like it came in whenever Miriam and Aaron rose up against Moses. You know, it's like the glory cloud showed up, but it wasn't to bless them. It was to correct them. And so that came into that room that day. I mean, I didn't wait until I got knocked on the floor. I just plastered myself on the floor. And he said, "I did not appreciate the way you spoke to my people today." And he said, "How long did it take you to get it?"
All right now.
And he had me.
All right.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. So there's hope for all of us.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So we'll be patient with one another, right? So he's talking about hearing and really hearing. Praise God. You can hear and don't listen. Amen. Sometimes, you know, that's like the people I was talking about in the meeting that I had with them in the office, and then they went out and did something else. You just don't know sometimes what was going on. You don't know if they had already made up their mind what to do, or they just, they just weren't the right kind of soil, like the parable of the sower. Remember, they with joy receive it, and then they go out and forget about it. There's different reasons people hear but don't hear. But I want to look at this tonight. Amen. If you love me after tonight, you're the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Listening is a skill that has to be learned. Amen. You and I don't know how to listen just because we got saved. That's true. You got to learn it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so every one of us have to become proficient at spiritual things. And this is one of the things we have to become proficient at. I remember 2 Timothy 3:17 in the Amplified Classic talks about the Word of God in the Amplified. It says it's given to make a man complete and proficient and equipped for every good work. God wants us to be proficient. Yes. I don't want to be I don't want to just know about faith. I want to be good at it. Yes. I don't just want to know about forgiving people like we were talking about. I want to be good at it. Amen. And that means proficient. If you and I don't become good at listening, we'll never be good at progressing. Amen. Absolutely. You and I have got to be good at listening to keep on progressing. Even if you get stuck in faith, what I mean by stuck in faith is it's just not working.
Yeah.
Usually it's because there's more you need to hear.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
Amen. I've been there before. I says, Lord, somewhere I'm not making my connection. Help me. There's something I got to hear. Something I'm missing here. Yes. And the way I start, you know, my wheels start getting on the ground again. You know what I mean by that? Because I'm in faith. I'm in high center kind of thing. Yeah. The way my wheels get on the ground again is hearing.
Yes.
And whenever I hear, I'm like, oh, I get it. I see.
Yeah.
And it's a constant thing. Never in your life until you go to be with Jesus will you be done with that. Amen. Some of you are looking at me strange, but that's all right. So it doesn't become, you don't get good at anything until you get good at listening. I mean, anything, you're learning to be an engineer. You got to learn to listen to somebody who's talking about engineering. You don't get good at anything until you get good at hearing. And that's true with spiritual things too. And so, you certainly don't get good at faith because faith comes by hearing, right? And so we've got to develop this skill. And if you have, because we're going to go over some bad spiritual habits that keeps people from hearing. You know what I'm talking about? And so we're going to look at some of that tonight. I remember being out to eat with some folks. This is when we first came here to pastor. Being out because we were just getting to know people and we were taking them to eat and so forth. We would take different ones out. And I remember one particular couple, we took them out to eat and I was looking forward to it, but Bill, we could barely get a word in edgewise.
All right, now.
Man, I mean, we would talk and they would sort of change the subject and talk about what they wanted to talk about. And they really didn't hear because they would, you could tell when we were talking, they were reloading. You know what I mean by reloading?
Yeah.
They were thinking about what they were going to say.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If you're thinking about what you're going to say, you're not listening.
Exactly. Come on.
Amen. We got in the car, barely said much to them at all. I mean, you know, other than, hi, how you doing? That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, of real substance, real reason for being out with them.
Yeah.
Never really got to talk much. And so we got in the car and I looked at Pastor Debbie and I said, that's the last time we're taking them out to eat. Till they learn to listen.
Yeah, amen.
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 You say you should have just cut them off. Right? Well, you know, I am getting bolder.
All right now. Come on.
I am getting bolder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ask some people, I get bold. And so, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to develop the skill. In order to listen, you got to shut up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, that's not a kind word, but it is a good word. You got to shut up. Can I just say something while I'm on it? Let's just do some preaching and some meddling while we're on it. It's more appropriate that when it comes to authority, like parents, government officials, there's different kinds of authority mentioned in the Bible. And there's spiritual authority, not to control people's lives. People get weird with that. It's not, spiritual authority is not in people's lives to control their lives. It's in their lives to bless their lives. But then there's employers and employees. The employer is in authority in that company. If he's the owner, then he's in charge. Amen. And so there's different kinds. The Bible mentions all these different kinds of authority. It's more appropriate for authority to not listen to employees and cut employees off mid-sentence than it is for employees to not listen to their boss and cut them off mid-sentence. It's true. I said, it's true. I found myself doing that on occasion. I said, Lord, I need to be more respectful towards them. He said, no, they need to be more respectful towards you. You're the one in charge here. Not in every situation, but in the situations he was talking about.
Yes, come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor amen.
Amen.
I found myself recently in a situation where I was with somebody who was further along spiritually than I was, had more experience in ministry than I've had, and they said something. They said some things to me, and I just sort of. Later on, I realized I didn't really listen to what they said. I changed the subject.
All right.
I didn't actually change the subject. I said something else. I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to divulge anything, but I just didn't listen. That's the point. I just didn't listen to what they were saying. And I realized that, and I thought, now, you know what God's been talking to you about, and you need to do it yourself. I need to learn to listen better.
Amen.
I didn't really hear because that wasn't what I was thinking about whenever they were saying it. I was thinking about what God has taught me. And I gave them what God had taught me, but they were telling me something I needed to hear, and I needed to be listening to what they said. I didn't need to tell them what God had taught me.
All right, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. All right now.
Listening, learning to listen. Everybody still glad you came tonight? You have to develop the skill of listening. Amen. You got to. Amen. And children need to learn to listen to parents.
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
Praise God. Here's something that you need to learn to do in places of authority, like your employer or somebody like that. When they give you instructions, don't just go, okay, and walk off. Say, okay, I heard you. Here's what you said, and here's when you want it done by, and here's how much the budget is, and here's what you said, and you want it by this timeline, and so forth and so on. Did I hear you correctly? They'll either say no or yes. And that's a good habit, just to let them know you were actually listening.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, what if you catch yourself and you find yourself after hearing this tonight, you find yourself not being good at listening? Well, don't get down on yourself. Just go to practicing listening better.
Yes, sir.
And listening requires your attention.
Yes.
Right? Not thinking about what you think about it, but actually thinking about what they're saying. Why do we need to learn to do this? Because we need to learn to do it with God.
Yes.
Everything depends on hearing. Remember over in the Old Testament, he said over in Deuteronomy over and over again, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, hearken, hearken, hearken. Over and over again, he said, hearken. And he's basically saying, listen, listen, listen. Amen. Husbands and wives have a habit of tuning each other out. And it's affecting their prosperity. It's affecting their unity. It's affecting their ability to pray the prayer of agreement. I found a little, I don't know if I can show you. I found a funny thing on the internet. It was a drawing of this little thing that husbands can put in their ear, and it has a setting for wife, TV, and something else. I forget what the other thing was. And it was like, okay, they can set the setting to tune out their wife.
Oh, why? What?
It's just a joke.
Oh, it's a joke.
It's just a drawing of somebody put something funny on. It's just a joke. I saw some husbands go, Where do I get it? Is it on Amazon, Pastor? I want that. Well, praise the Lord. We won't buy those, right? I found older people sometimes, they've developed the habit of just totally tuning their spouse out. They're sitting there talking and they didn't even hear what they're talking about. That's a bad habit. See, we're talking about breaking bad habits tonight. Now you're starting to enjoy the service. Come on, somebody. So, praise the Lord. I've been thinking, when the Lord started bringing this all together today, he started this weekend and brought it all together today. But whenever he started, I started thinking about situation after situation that this applies to, whether it's my life, other people's lives. Like, for example, over the last month or two, we've been on some doozy rescue missions. I don't know if you know what that term means, doozy. That means big, big. Big, like this is crazy. Rescue missions. And I got to thinking about that whenever I was meditating on this today. A lot of it just had to do with not listening. Amen. You know, spiritual people don't really want to tell people what to do. So a lot of times they won't come out and directly say, I have this in my spirit that if you don't rest more, It's gonna catch up to you. Or, you know, your diet is gonna cause you problems in 2 years.
So true. Come on.
Yes, sir.
They don't like to tell people what to do.
Right. Come on.
In fact, a lot of times it's not their place to.
Right.
Unless the Lord says, I need you to say something because I need them to be rescued.
Yes.
Because he's trying to help us. Everybody say he's trying to help us. Those are just examples. Those are not things I'm thinking of right now. You know, I'm not gunning for anybody tonight. In fact, I think what the Lord is doing is he's getting ahead of some things.
Amen.
He's getting ahead of some things.
Amen.
But so everybody relax and just say, praise the Lord. He's not talking about me. Hallelujah. Do you feel the air come back in the room? It was just this. sometimes... we don't want to just say it out. Now, I talk to my pastor friends about it. I don't like telling people certain things. It's just, you know, but then Pastor Nancy, I remember sitting at a table one time talking, some of us pastors were talking, and Pastor Nancy was sitting there, and she said, you need to change your thinking about this. If the Lord tells you to say it, you're not trying to be mean to him. He wants to help them.
Yeah.
He said, I always approach him saying, can I help you? Would it be all right if I help you? And you need to approach it that way. We're like, yeah, that's good.
That's real good. Amen.
Because one of the pastors that was sitting there, and I'm not getting down on him because I've had the same thoughts. I just didn't open my mouth in that case. Amen. But he said, I just don't like confrontation. And she said, now let me help you with that. It's not confrontation, it's helping people.
Yeah, that's really good.
But we don't like doing that in the natural because, you know, I have a particular aversion to telling people what to do. It's not my life.
Right.
But sometimes the Lord will speak to me to tell somebody because it's a rescue mission.
Yes.
Am I making any sense?
Yes,
because they're not listening.
Yeah.
Or he'll say, I want you to preach on it.
Yeah.
And if people just hear it as a good sermon,
right,
rather than God talking to me, then I did my part.
Yep.
Go to Ezekiel. I want you to look at a verse along this line, Ezekiel 33. We got to get past some things.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Ezekiel 33, 31 through 32. I want you to see this in your Bible. I'm going to wait for you to find it. Ezekiel 33, 31 through 32. I don't know how well you're going to like tonight, but this is something that's growing in me right now. And we'll we'll work with it. I've learned to just stick with things and keep working with it, even if you got to dig it out of a hole at the beginning because people are not quite sure what you're saying.
Right, yeah.
But Ezekiel 33, 31 through 32, they came on. This is, let me back up. God is speaking to Ezekiel, who's standing in the office of the prophet, and he's speaking under inspiration of the Spirit to the people of God, and God is telling him how they're responding to him.
Yes.
This is in Ezekiel 33, 31 through 32. They come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. Look at this next verse. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Of one of that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they will not do them. Listen to the Living Bible, that last verse. You are very entertaining to them. Like someone who sings lovely songs with a beautiful voice or plays well on an instrument, they hear what you say, but don't pay any attention to it. That's got to be something we don't do. We just come to church to check a box. We were there. We did our duty. It was lovely. He has such skill. He has such ability. It was so well put together. Don't you think the people got blessed out of that?
Come on now.
Didn't hear it to do it. On a scale of 1 to 10, that sermon was probably about a 7.
Come on.
What did the Holy Ghost say?
Yes.
It's not how elegant it was. You know, when you go to a concert, he's talking about people that sing well and play instruments. When you go to a concert, you don't really go to get anything out of it. You go just to enjoy the, you know, I remember whenever we were kids, I actually didn't like this kind of music, but the music teacher at school took us to, we weren't too far from Washington, D.C., grew up about an hour and a half, I think, from Washington, D.C., and what's that that musical instrument place down there, the symphony, the D.C. Symphony or whatever that is. They play down there quite often. And so the music teachers took us down there. But that wasn't my kind of music. Back then I was into some other kind. I won't even tell you what it was. It had more beat and it had more guitars, you know. But she took us down there and I got pulled into that. You know, all the cellos and the violins and all those. It's like, man, this is amazing. But I didn't get anything out of it. Right?
Yeah.
We can't go to church that way.
Thinking,
boy, he did a good job. I've never heard anybody preach it that good. Who cares? That's called hearing but not hearing. Amen. That's called really not listening. Praise God. It's a bad habit. Praise God. I'm just shouting inside. I'm just going to shout for you too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. So let's just jump to something else here. Let's look at something. Let me jump to this. Let me tell you a story. Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
You've heard this story, but this will in this setting, in this approach, you'll get more out of this story. I won't tell you where it was. It was one of the Southwest states preaching. The pastor, this was when we were in our traveling ministry, traveling full time all over the United States. And there was a pastor down there that really had us in quite often, at least once a year. He had a number of churches, but anyway, without getting into all the details, there was this one church that he had us go to every year for a while. And I'll never forget, after being there for a number of years and preaching there that last time we preached there, we finished the trip. We would drive back then a lot. We wouldn't fly as much. We drove from church to church. We would just kind of create a path out to, you know, California and preach our way out to California, turn around, come back to Tulsa. I remember we were gone so long one time that I think it was a month and a half or something like that. I remember being gone so long that whenever we got back into town, it was just getting dark when we got back into town, and I looked off to the side of the highway, right close to where we lived, looked off the side of the highway, and I thought, that car dealership wasn't there whenever we left. They built that car dealership. Well, I said, man, we've been gone a long time. So that's the way we did it. But anyway, we were out there in one of those, and we were preaching along, and we got to this church. Anyway, so then we finished our trip, and probably about 2 weeks later got home. And I was very glad to sleep in my own bed. Yeah. And I'm just telling you, I was looking forward to sleeping in. Because it was preach, travel, go, treat, preach, travel. Just, you know, and so I was looking forward to sleeping in. Except just as the sun came up, I mean, I sat up straight up in bed when the Holy Ghost wanted to talk to me. I was like, I got to go pray. So I went up in our house back in Broken Arrow at the time. Had a little office upstairs, kind of over the garage. I went up in that garage area, and I just laid, I mean, the office above the garage, and I just laid down on the floor and started praying. I said, Lord, what is it? And the word of the Lord came to me. I prayed in tongues for a little while, got past my sleepiness, got over into the Spirit a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so as I prayed, I heard the word of the Lord came. I know exactly what the Bible, what the Old Testament prophets meant when they said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. It wasn't audible, but it was audible in the spirit realm.
Yes,
does that make any sense?
Yes.
In other words, somebody standing there wouldn't have heard it with their ear, their physical ears, but I heard it with my spiritual ears, just if it had been a voice in the natural, you would have heard it just as plain as anything.
Yeah.
But it was a voice in the spirit. It was the Lord's voice. He said, and all of a sudden, while I was praying, let me back up. While I was praying in the spirit, I went to that service that we had conducted in this particular church. I saw, I don't know how to describe spiritual things sometimes, but it ran off to me like a TV screen from the beginning of the service to the end. And I saw I was taken there almost in the spirit. And I saw everything that happened in that service, every phase of the service. I saw when I got up to preach, I saw every point I made in the service, but it only happened in a blink of an eye.
Wow.
I saw the whole thing. It's difficult to describe how spiritual things work, but I saw the whole thing. And I saw what I had preached on. I saw every point that I had preached on when I was there. I wouldn't have been able to remember that. I remember there's been times I was like, I'm getting ready for service, you know, here. And I'm like, what did I preach last Sunday? I just have to go look. I don't remember stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that service, I remembered the whole thing. Well, whenever I had that mini, I guess you'd call it a mini vision. I saw the whole thing again. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, this is the word of the Lord. He said, they've hardened their heart. They've turned their ear away from hearing the truth. Judgment has come. Tell the Sodomites to get out. Now, the Sodomites were the people that this pastor had a number of churches, and he had people in all the churches to sort of watch over things while he was preaching in other churches.
Yeah.
So he was making a circuit, but yet, right on the other hand, the Sodomites were the people that stayed there while he's gone, and they're ministering to the people and so forth. So the Lord said, tell the Sodomites to get out. Let me rephrase what he said. He said, they've hardened their heart. They've turned away their ear from hearing the truth. Judgment has come. Tell the Sodomites to get out. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I just went, whoa, that's strong. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, I realized that I had just seen the mini vision where I saw the whole service, but I didn't make the connection to what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, you might be quicker than me, but I eventually got it, but I didn't get it right then.
Come on.
So, well, tell the Sodomites to get out. That means I got to call this pastor and talk to him. Mm-hmm. I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I got to talk to him.
Yeah.
So, well, I looked at my clock and it's still early, and it's two, I think whatever, an hour or two, whatever it was, an hour or two difference for him. So I had to wait till like 11 o'clock to call him. Didn't want to wake him up, but eventually called him and I said, hello, this is Pastor Jay. How you doing? Small talk. I said, I got to tell you something that the Lord spoke to me this morning. And he said, what's that? And I gave him what the Lord had said. They've hardened their heart, turned away their ear from hearing. And I was talking about the particular church that I had preached in. I told him about the vision and me seeing that and what the Lord had said.
Yeah.
And there was silence on the phone. Yeah. Seemed like forever. I mean, it probably wasn't that long. Right. But there was silence on the phone. I said, well, does that mean anything to you? He said, that means a lot to me. He said, yesterday, now maybe I give too many details here, but he said, yesterday, he said, you know that city was built by the mining company, that the whole city owns all the houses, and the big mine, everybody there works at the mining company. It's down in the middle of nowhere down there. Yeah. In fact, it's not far from the border.
Yeah.
Homeland Security took it over after the mine shut down. But he said, that city, you know, that whole city was built by the mine. All the houses are owned by the mine, and they're out there mining. I think it was copper and something. I don't remember what they were mining. And he said, you remember that? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, yesterday, I think the evening before that or something like that, before I called him, he said, yesterday, the mine announced in 30 days, the mine is closing, that everybody has to move out. These are our houses. You're living here because you work here. The mine's shutting down. Y'all have to leave, find another job. I said, whoa. I said, what's this about they have hardened their heart and turned away their ear from hearing the truth? He said, do you remember what you preached there? You know, whenever you were there, I said, yeah, I preached on tithing. He said, that's exactly right. I said, the Lord reminded me of every point I made. He said, remember we had you in the year before that? I said, yeah, you've had us in there for a number of years. He said, remember what you preached on the year before that? I said, no. He said, you preached on tithing.
Oh, wow.
I said, that's interesting. Yeah. He said, do you remember what you preached on the year before that?
Oh,
3 years before.
Wow.
I said, I don't remember. He said, you preached on tithing.
All right, now.
He said, you've been here for 4 years in a row. Do you remember what you preached the first time you were here? I said, I don't. He said, you preached on tithing. I don't preach on tithing on the road that much. I don't think I preached on it very much at all. That's the pastor's job to preach on tithing. I mean, nothing wrong with a guest minister preaching on it, but you know what I'm talking about. So I said, I get it. So they've hardened their heart and turned. What does that mean? They've turned away their ear. In other words, they've turned away their ear. Listen to that. They've turned away their ear from hearing the truth. Somebody said, he's trying to get us to tithe. This is not about tithing.
Come on now.
It's about hearing. If that's what comes up in your heart, you're not hearing. So I said, what's this about they've hardened their heart and turned away their ear from hearing the truth? He said, that church, you remember, he said, you've been there. He said, that church has about 80 people in it. I said, yeah, I remember, I've been there. He said, out of that 80 people, one couple tithes. One couple out of the whole church tithes. I said, who's that? He said, that's the Sorta Maze.
All right, now.
Tell the Sorta Maze to get out. I said, Pastor, I can't tell them to get out, but the Holy Ghost told me, tell them to get out, so you tell them to get out. And so, well, everybody had to get out. But here's the thing. The Holy Ghost was going to work with the Sorta Maze. He wasn't going to work with anybody else, helping them get another job.
Right.
But the Sorta Maze had another job within 3 days. A better job in a better city, living in a better house.
Praise God.
Never skipped a beat. God took them on to better things. The rest of them all struggled. Can you see what I'm talking about? They sat and heard, but they didn't listen. Did God do that? No, they did it to themselves. They did it themselves. That mine is, last I heard, I checked up, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I checked up on it again to see it. That mine hasn't been open since. You said, would that have anything to do with them tithing? No, maybe couldn't. You can't tell. It might have been a coincidence, but that's not what the Holy Ghost said.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost said it was judgment.
Yes.
He was basically saying, you obviously don't want a church here.
All right,
you obviously don't appreciate this pastor being led of the Spirit, assigned by heaven to come here and to raise up a church to feed you the Word of God so you can prosper. So forget it. Bye-bye. Adios. I'm going to some place that they want to hear the word.
Yes, amen.
Pastor, that's strong. Yeah, but that's the way the things of God work. Jesus said, if they don't hear you, he said, shake the dust off your feet and get out of town. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Praise the Lord. This is a good time to shout. I mean, if you're on the right side of this, you got nothing to be nervous about. We're on the right side of this. We have ears to hear. And like you or your children, that you don't consider them hearing unless they respond. Right? And start acting in line with what you said. That's the only time you consider them hearing. God's the same way. He doesn't, actually in the Hebrew, I did a study on this one time. The Hebrew has no concept of just it bouncing off your eardrums and going and doing your own thing. Yeah. It has no concept of that. Yeah. It only has a concept here. You've not heard unless you have altered your course.
Yeah, come on.
Wow. We really think the same way when it comes to the way we raise our children, right? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, can you say amen to that story?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, just because the Lord said to me this afternoon, he reminded me of that story, and he said, just because what you said in those services was only instructive, it wasn't presented as a warning. Listen to me. Doesn't mean that it wasn't important. Amen. Just because I wasn't jumping up and down saying, hear ye, bring ye all your tithes or the judgment will fall.
Come on.
You know, because people will listen to something like that. But it wasn't that. It was just instruction from the word. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know I was bringing answers to the whole church remaining in existence. Thank you, Jesus. Just because somebody's only instructing in the word doesn't mean it can be ignored. Praise the Lord. This is good preaching tonight. This is good, whether you know it or not. This is good preaching. How many of you know God's got our best interests at heart? We need to trust him even when we don't understand. Amen. How many of you know you can be absent from church, you can be present in church, and still absent from church? Somehow I've pastored a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So long I got to cover up the gray on my beard.
Yeah, we know.
But I've been doing this a long time. And I've discovered this. People can sit in the same service and yet go to two different services. Some people get it and excited about it, and they keep growing. They keep walking in the light of what they hear, and they keep advancing spiritually. They keep doing better all the time. Their family's doing better all the time. Marriage's doing better all the time. Finances doing better. Staying healthy.
Yep. Come on. Amen.
And other people just struggle. Yeah. After a while, they say, well, I got to go somewhere where I can get fed.
Oh.
It's not the pastor most of the time. It's the heart condition that can't hear.
Yes.
My mama used to say, you know, get out something and try to clean out your ears.
Yeah.
Everybody still loves pastor?
Yes.
Hallelujah. A lot of times, not always, but sometimes it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
And the longer, Hebrews 3 talks about it, Hebrews 3, 7 through 12, the longer a person goes let's put it this way, the longer a person goes resisting what God is saying to them or not hearing what God is saying to them, the more unresponsive they become and the harder their heart gets.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I've had people tell me, my young people don't like the church. Well, that's a heart condition. There's some people that love this church.
Yeah, come on.
Young people that love
That's
this church.
Right. Yes. Yes, sir.
Don't put that off on me.
No, sir.
Brother, when I was in a minister's meeting with Brother Moore, I'm feeling mean on the devil right now. I was in a minister's meeting with Brother Moore, Keith Moore, and he said to us ministers, there's a large group there. He said to us ministers, he said, listen, I know what you all are preaching. He said, and you're putting out some of the best word in the country.
All right now.
He said, don't let anybody tell you
Amen.
That you're not.
Yeah.
I said, that's right.
Yes.
He was just encouraging us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't get anything out of it. That's you. That's on your side.
Yes.
You don't have ears to hear. And that's probably been going on a long time. Because if you're at a place you don't get anything, then you got a hard heart.
Yeah.
in a church like this, if you don't thrive, it's not because the answers are not there. It's that you're not hearing the answers. Don't be so direct, Pastor. Well, sometimes we just got to hear it direct. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 3, 9, the key to Solomon's entire success was 1 Kings 3, 9. Remember God asked him, said, what do you want? Tell me what you want. He said, I want an understanding heart. Remember that? Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge this thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, and so forth. If you look at the Hebrew, it says a hearing heart. A hearing heart. Listen, you can't, oh Lord Jesus. You can't change your heart when you walk through that door. In other words, if you're hard against the word that's preached here all week long, you can't come in here and all of a sudden flip a switch and have a tender heart. You have to live in light of what you hear from the word of God. You can't change your heart in a moment when you walk through the doors. No more than a zebra can change his stripes. Amen. You can't come in here and hear and shout amen and go out and totally forget it all week long and live in disobedience to it, thinking, well, I'll do that if I want to. I got my way. I'm going to do it. And then come back in here and have a tender heart. You just hardened your heart, and whenever you come back in, your heart is a degree harder. And the more that goes, the less you get. And that's why people eventually fade to the back row, and then they disappear. And before you know it, they're not doing anything spiritually. They're not growing. They're stuck spiritually. They're in a mess. Praise the Lord, Pastor Jay. We haven't had a service like this for a while. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you're all just kind of quiet. I don't know if you like it or not, but that's all right. A hearing heart's a tender heart. You and I need, the Bible talks about things like this. You and I need to be if God just sort of whispers, we go, oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I won't do that. If he says, don't do that. It doesn't have to be. See, if God has to call you out of the crowd and say, wake you up.
Yeah, come on.
That's a rescue mission because you're not hearing on your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So a hearing heart is expressed through obedience. How you respond to what you hear from God determines the condition of your heart. Your condition of your heart is not up to God. Remember the Bible said that today, if you hear, this is Hebrews 3, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He didn't say God will harden your heart. He said, but by not responding to what you hear, that hardens your heart. That's what it means when it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It doesn't mean God did it. It just, the only sense in which God hardened Pharaoh's heart was whenever God kept dealing with him. If God had stopped dealing with him, he wouldn't have hardened his heart.
Yes, sir.
The only reason Pharaoh hardened his heart is because he kept resisting.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Regarding a hardened heart, you can't plant seed on concrete. And you'll never get a harvest from seed planted on concrete. I've never gotten up in the morning and come out, and right out of the concrete on my driveway is a bush that grew. There might be something get down in the cracks, but that's where there's some dirt down in there. But you can't plant a seed on concrete.
Come on.
Amen. So tell your neighbor, we're getting something out of this tonight. People that come to churches like this, their struggle is not because they weren't taught. It's because they don't hear. And that's not on the pastor's side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every now and then we need to shake ourselves up and say, hey, what you doing with what you've been? Amen. Can we go on? Should we go on? Luke 8 is addressing this in Luke 8:18. This is his rendition of the parable of the sower. Remember in Mark's account, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And then he comes over to Luke's account in Luke 8:18, and it says, take heed therefore how you hear. Somebody said, which one did he say? He said both of them. Take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. So take heed how you hear. And he said, for whatever or whoever hath, in other words, ears to hear, to him shall be given. And whoever hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So you can actually, having something taken from you is actually spiritual regression. The Bible wants us, the Bible says we're supposed to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, from increase to increase. That's the way our life's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that's the way our life's supposed to be. So if that's not happening, he's saying something's being taken from us because we're not taking heed how we hear. He's addressing, can you see this? Listen very carefully. He's addressing the how we hear. In other words, we don't hear right just because we got saved.
Yeah, right.
Many people have brought a bad habit of listening that they developed before they got saved. They develop that habit in the world and they bring it over into their spiritual lives.
Yeah.
And they never learned how to hear.
Yeah.
And we don't even have time to get into it tonight. But I think we need to spend some more time on this. So this is addressing the how to hear. James 1:21 is also addressing the how to hear. He talks about receiving with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
Amen.
Notice that with meekness is addressing the how.
Yeah.
Not with pride, not with I'll do that if I want.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right, or that's the pastor's opinion. Uh-huh. Well, if he was reading Bible verses, it wasn't the pastor's opinion.
Right.
That's addressing, take heed how you hear. He said, hear with meekness.
Yes.
Receive it with meekness.
Yes.
Amen. He said, a man that receives it without meekness, he's like a man beholding himself in the mirror. He goes and forgets.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
In other words, he forgets the image that there's a lot more to this than I have time to get into. But he loses the image of what he saw when he looked in the Word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's this is probably where we need to stop. There's so much. I didn't even get into the thing I need to get into before I get into what I really need to say. Hallelujah. So we'll stop right there. Because if I start the next thing, it'll be unfair to do. I won't be able to do it justice. Praise the Lord. So are y'all right with a little bit of progressive services here on some of this?
Yes.
Line upon line, preparing for what the Spirit of God is saying to some of us.
Come on.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's just take some of the things we've learned already and put them into practice. Like, for example, when somebody's talking, we're not thinking about what we're going to say.
Yes, sir.
If you're talking to me, I'm going to fully engage in what you're saying. And then whenever you're done talking, I'm going to say whatever comes up in my spirit or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you might want to, some of your parents, you might want to say, you might want to put this into practice that I said earlier. Teach your children to say, what did mommy say?
Yeah.
But it's probably some of you do this. But if you haven't done that, learn to, because you're teaching them to hear.
Yeah.
And if they'll learn it in that realm of listening to you, then they'll take that to God.
Yes.
And they'll be acting and responding correctly to God. That's why I take, sometimes I just want to do something without my phone being with me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because who knows who's going to call or text or whatever. But I still, whenever I get up at 2:00 in the morning, whatever, and I know I need to pray, I still grab my phone and take it with me. Now, not because I want to call somebody or I want to look at the internet, but because I know if God says something, I want to capture what he's saying.
Amen.
So I take it with me everywhere because it's so easy just to speak it into my phone and go back and edit it. Not to change what he said, but to fix the words that misspelled, you know. Sometimes it'll make God cuss. And it's like, he didn't cuss, you know. Amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you a funny story before we go? Do you know that Teresa cussed at me one time? She texted and autocorrect corrected it, except it made a mistake. And I'm looking at the text and she's cussing at me. I'm like, well, I got something to use against her for the rest of her life. So you learned something else in church tonight. Always reread what the, always reread what, you know, four times. That's right. You should see the way I text Pastor Nancy. I don't even put her name in first. I don't pull up the texting app. I pull up another app and I speak into it and then I correct everything and then I go away for about, you know, 10 minutes and I come back to it and say, does that make sense? You know, and then I take my time and then I load it over in there and then I put her name in and then I send it and say, I hope it's understood right. Amen. Hallelujah. So tell Pat, tell Teresa to stop cussing and praise the Lord. It helps to receive if we're a little bit fun too, right? Praise the Lord. Raise both hands and say, Father God,
I choose
to develop good habits concerning listening. I thank you for what you put on Pastor's heart. Thank you, Father, for help in this area. Lord, I'll grow. Thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for helping me to capture what the Spirit is saying to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you a story? I've been telling stories, but somebody one time, they were, I could tell they were just being busy and wearing themselves out. And they decided to take this trip, and I just had it in my spirit. People's lives is not my business. I do as much as I can to stay out of people's lives. But when I'm their pastor and the Spirit of God's trying to get me something across to me to help them, I pay attention to that. I have avoided that at times because I don't want to be involved. I've said to the Lord at times, Lord, that's not my business. He said, I'm making it your business.
Yes, amen.
You're their pastor.
Yes,
you know, he's trying to help us. He's not. I despise the idea of telling people what to do. Other than do the word.
Yes, sir.
Keep your britches on. You know, some things like that. That's just, but my point is, I just sense they're so busy. They keep so busy. God didn't tell them to go on this trip. And they're just always busy.
Yeah.
So I said something to them, not about not going on the trip. Uh-huh. I just said something about learning to rest.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided, okay, because they were on staff. I said, okay, if they're going to be busy, then they're going to be busy for me. Because they didn't listen. So I said, okay. And I didn't tell them what I was doing, but I loaded them down with a whole bunch of projects. I'm giving you my secrets. Because they didn't listen. They're going to be busy. If they're going to work themselves to death, they're going to do it for me. So, so I just loaded them down with a whole bunch of projects. And they'd worked on those projects and still took the trip. Because I just sensed they shouldn't go on that trip. They're only going because they don't know how to stop and rest. And so I tried to say something a little bit to them, so they went, and they came back so frustrated because the trip didn't go like they wanted to. Everything just didn't work out. They didn't even, the particular thing they were trying to get done on the trip didn't even work out. I said, well, come back and go to work for me now.
There you go.
Didn't listen.
Tell
your neighbor, that's pretty interesting. I learned something about Pastor tonight. I said something to Pastor Nancy one time about a particular minister that I said, maybe I shouldn't, they need to rest more. She was talking to me, they need to rest more. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't this and this and this. I can't get into it, but. And they said, well, Pastor Nancy said, well, I talked to them and they're not listening. So if they don't come to you, they'll do it somewhere else. So just go ahead and have them come.
All right.
But don't listen.
Yeah.
Got in trouble physically for it.
Okay.
Is that my fault? Nope. If they weren't here, they'd have been somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Ouch.
Yeah. Come on.
I remember Brother Hagin. I'm having too much fun telling stories. Brother Hagin was preaching in one of his services one day, and he went over to a particular minister and just leaned on him and talked and preached. And see, Brother Hagin wasn't a real direct confrontational person. But he'll just say something. Like in this case, he's preaching, just leaning there preaching, and he looked at him and he said, "Are you sure you're supposed to go, Pastor?" And the man said, "Yep, I'm supposed to go, Pastor." Wrong answer. You don't understand what Brother Hagin was saying. He's saying, "I'm picking up that's you're going to miss God." See, spiritual people don't want to tell people what to do. Does that make any sense? You know what that man did? He went out and pastored and died prematurely. Wouldn't listen. When it comes to spiritual people talking into your life, read between the lines. Amen. Y'all got real quiet on that one. Is it because it's past 8:30 and you shut down at 8:30? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't get nervous. Just listen. Hallelujah. I love it whenever I preach something and I know the Lord's on a rescue mission. And sometimes I don't know anything. But sometimes I know I'm on a rescue mission and I know who it's for. But I don't get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, hear ye, big ugly back there, it's for you." You know, just no, I usually don't say that. But I love it whenever the Holy Ghost, I know what the Holy Ghost is doing, and I love it when that person comes up afterwards and said, "I heard you."
Yeah.
I said, whatever the Lord's saying, it's not between me and you, it's between you and God.
Yeah.
Heard you. I love that. Love that. What are they doing? I'm not addressing them directly. I'm just preaching the word because the Lord said they're on a rescue mission, and they heard it.
Yeah.
That's called a listening ear,
Amen.
A listening heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, he that hath ears to hear, what is he supposed to do?
Let him hear.
Well, I didn't get anything out of it tonight. Okay, go your way and don't hear. And be happy because I'm going to be happy. Praise the Lord. It's your life. You do it. You do you, right? You do you. Greet somebody and tell them, "I got what I needed tonight." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I say one more thing? This is an awesome testimony. Over the last this person can correct me if I'm wrong. It's probably 5 years plus. More than 5 years, actually, now that I think about it. God started just having Pastor Debbie and I drop little hints to a particular person. And because it was to save their life physically. Do you realize that there are people God sets in your life that because of their calling to speak into your life, that they'll see and know things to help them do that? It's not about telling people what to do. It's about rescuing them, helping them get across the finish line. And we started dropping little hints, and this person started responding. And they just it had to do with their physical body. And they just recently got one of the most powerful reports of their physical body, in their physical body, and stuff that had been in their body and causing them big trouble and putting them in the hospital for, I think, a week at a time, if I remember right. That is totally gone out of their life. And just because we love her so dearly, I'm going to tell you who it is. It's this lady over here called Kimberly Budak. She got the most wonderful report and just amazing change in her body. Because just listening, just hearing.
Hallelujah.
We're not trying to tell people what to do. We want them to live long. We want them to be successful and get all that God has for them. Amen. Pastor Debbie and I, people like that, we hold them right here in our hearts because we know that kind of person can hear from God and receive from God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I could tell a lot of stories and they would all bless you, but I just thought I'd tell you that one. She's a blessing. Amen.